flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Great to see all the WIP guys are here. Joe and Hugh are on the air right now. Ike Reese just walked in. It's cool to see all the Odyssey folks at once.
Yeah, man.
We got to figure out what Houston has working, though, B, because we need a chair like that.
Oh, dude, I got
a question for you.
What?
So, Miss, I don't know. Perhaps this should be an off-air question. Off-air discussion.
If you're thinking that, you probably won't keep it off air.
What do you think is a reasonable amount of money to spend on a reclining chair? A nice leather reclining chair.
I don't really know how much they cost. I just know I come home and there's all kind of stuff in the house.
What do you think Lauren thinks is a reasonable amount of money to spend on a leather?
Probably five times more than what it should be.
I am going to do something intelligent that I rarely do. We'll talk about this offline. We are obviously here, Radio Row, Super Bowl week, Chiefs, Eagles. It is funny, man. Ryan Leaf joined the program last hour and said something that, you know, ask Detroit, it's really hard to get this far.
Yeah.
And Washington lost to the Eagles, and it was awesome they got that far. But, like, there's no guarantee you get to the NFC title game again.
There's no guarantee, but I'll say this. Even with Detroit, how many players did they lose throughout the year? And UCL was one game away from that.
Right.
So, if you got the right mindset from your players and you got the coaching, you can still get far. You hear what I'm saying? So, you may not get all the way, but they were right there. Even with all that situation, which tells me that is a group with a nice nucleus.
You know what
I mean?
For
sure. So I think that is what we have to be concerned about with this team. And I think you look at the way Adam and Dan are building things, they want to make sure that core is proper. And the mindset of the core is the proper mindset.
I agree, yeah, man. And I think they're trying to build that. And I think it's going to be fascinating with this Myles Garrett stuff. A lot of people are like, yo, just do it, just do it. One thing that's really interesting, I don't know that Cleveland could actually trade him. Like, the Cleveland cap situation is so messed up because of the Watson contract. Like, they're $30 million over the cap right now. And I think they have some restructures to work through, and all that numbers will
when
get
when you trade
finalized.
A guy, don't that stuff goes with them?
All the – you know how they – like – so, the way they make this stuff work is, I don't know what Myles Garrett's signing bonus was, right? $60 million, something outrageous. God, the internet here just sucks. There we go. So of his signing bonus, right, it was $50 million.
Uh-huh.
And then they space that out over the life of the contract, and they add all these late void years onto the life of the contract just to space it out more, right?
Yeah.
But, like, that money still has to be accounted for. So they'd get slapped with all that spaced out void year prorated signing bonus money at once.
But when you're trading, those other people are coming in, and if those numbers all match, it doesn't necessarily have to come in front. It's right there.
It would, like, so B, he basically got $100 million in bonuses, right? But they are still paying most of that off. 25 25 his cap number's at 19. Next year it goes up to 20. In 27, his cap number's 40. It's a void year, but like that $40 million still has to be accounted for. It's kind of what's happened to the Saints. Mm-hmm. It's like they had all these, like, they try to just kick everything away. That's everybody that says the cap isn't real. It doesn't mean you can't be more aggressive to the cap than Washington has historically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the cap eventually becomes real.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does the Garrett trade request seem real in that he wants a new team because he knows he ain't never going to win anything in Cleveland? Or I want a new contract?
I want a new contract.
You think?
Hell yeah.
Like when Ayuk started his nonsense,
that was about getting the contract.
My read on that was complete contract driven.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This one seems a little, because Cleveland is such a mess, like Ayuk, you at that point, you were on the best team in the NFC, dude.
Yeah.
What do you need to trade for?
Yeah.
You just want some cash.
Yeah, yeah, because he could really mean, like, you know, I ain't going to win nothing here. You know, and like you said, they're in trouble with the cap, so I can understand that move. But still, he wants a new contract. Let's be real about it, dude.
Right.
Because you named names earlier. What's the guy, Josh Allen?
Josh Hines Allen.
That dude there, I guess he added that because every time you talk to Josh Allen, you think quarterback. So the ultimate thing is, like, I'm looking at this guy money, and he makes more than I do. And I know I'm a way better player than him. So I want my money. That's the way players think. Like, they know based off of the stats and the discussions and that you're a better player than said player. But why is he making more money than you?
I always say the locker room always knows. You know what every player in the NFL is highly cognizant of? How much every other player is making.
Yeah, especially if they're in their position.
Dude, totally. Totally, totally. I think it's fascinating to kind of watch this Garrett thing unfold. And for everybody that's like, yo, do this, do this, do this. The GM in Cleveland has already come out and said, we're not trading him.
Yeah,
period.
But they always come out and say stuff like that.
And there's going to be a million websites that'll say, like, yo, Washington's a perfect place. It doesn't mean the Rams aren't calling or Seattle. Like, there's a lot of options. You know what I mean? And I think, shout out to Mitch Tischler for delivering small hot dogs. If I ever had to guess what my man Mitch would bring, it's a mini bratwurst? Hell yeah. Yo, you pause, Jeff. All I'm talking about is bratwurst. What are you talking about? Get your head out of the gutter, Jeff. Jeez. Denton, with the Garrett thing, do you think real wants out of town or wants new cash?
I definitely think he wants out of town. I mean, that organization is such a disaster. Like, if you actually care about winning, right? Because the thing with, like, with him, you're going to get paid no matter where you go. You're going to get money wherever. You know you're not winning there. Because that Deshaun Watson contract is impossible. They're not going to go get a new young, great quarterback, at least not this upcoming year. So at the very least, you're looking like 2-3 years down the road before any real winning starts to happen. I think he actually wants to get out of town and see if he can go compete somewhere else at an organization that is not completely dysfunctional.
I do, too. I think everybody always wants to get paid, and there's no way Myles Garrett is going to go into a season without guaranteed money on his deal. That's the same thing that happened with Trent Williams a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Like, some of these dudes are just that good that they're it's just not going to happen.
He's still at the top of his game. If he had fallen off, he can talk all he wants. It won't happen. But this dude is still at the top of his game.
Right. He had 14 sacks last year.
Yeah.
He's all pro. And I just think the way he impacts games is so crazy. Honestly, dude, going back in time to week 5, Brandon Coleman's performance on Myles Garrett was outrageous, dude. Clearly, Coleman was getting beat up later in the year. I don't know if you saw this, B, forgive me, I don't even know who I should credit with this, but Commanders met with a bunch of folks during the Senior Bowl. I do try to, like, caution people from getting too excited about meetings at the Senior Bowls
and
combines. They're going to meet with a lot of people.
You do your due diligence.
Right. But they met with a lot of tackles. And people are, like, running with that. They're going to focus on rebuilding the trenches. And that doesn't necessarily mean an indictment or condemnation or necessarily, like, a compliment to the existing tackles. They're just – this is football, dude. You know you can never have enough of
the
tackles.
The problem is people think you have to have 5 good offensive linemen. I believe you got to have like 10 of them. You need to have 5 backups that you don't have a big drop off if one of those guys get hurt. You can't. You're probably going to dress out 8 or 9 of them.
Nine now, with
like
rules
on the field.
Yeah,
but you need 10 of them, not just 5. So yes, you got some people on your roster. You also have Brandon Sheriff, who's coming off of a knee injury. So you need somebody. I mean, yeah, Cosby. I said Brandon Sheriff. Wow, that went way back. But you got Cosby coming off of that, which means at that point you need to have probably 2 for that position. You don't know how quick it's going to come or what happens with that situation.
There's also a lot of tackles at the Senior Bowl. They're not meeting with quarterbacks there.
But guess
they
what
don't
you
need
to do? The tackle who is very good but won't be exceptional can be a hell of a guard. when the Cowboys' offensive line was great, you know what they did? They put people in positions that, long as I need the 5 best on the field. It wasn't a guy who necessarily was a guard. They had a tackle playing guard.
Well, and I think DQ said that even late in the year when he was asked, well, I guess it was going into Philly, right? He was asked, you know, what might happen with with Cosby being out because he got hurt at the end of the Detroit game. He's like, yeah, we're going to get our best 5 out there. And they ended up going with Scott again.
I'm glad he said that, though, and didn't use position flex. That would have triggered bad memories.
It's funny how different it feels when when DQ says stuff than when Ron said it. Because it's not like Ron didn't say a bunch of stuff.
But see, the thing about it, DQ don't always talk about stuff.
Right.
He might say some things here and there, but every day it was another cliche from the previous staff. And every single day they didn't do what they said they were going to do the day before. They talked about this culture change stuff so much, but I never saw the culture changing. The culture changed, and I didn't hear which cop coming in saying, we're going to change the culture. They just did it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you got to get to that point eventually.
Yeah, for sure, man. I think a few things. I think the internet in this building is driving me crazy. It sucks. at least the signal's working. But I think specific to the O-line and the D-line, I think that's where you're going to see – a real, real focus this season. And I think that's where it should be a real, real focus. Like, I don't think that should be a surprise to folks. And I don't know. I just – it's going to be fascinating to watch this all unfold, and I'm excited for it. And I think the fact that Josh Harris, the Commander's owner, spoke today at length, right? I mean, it was a long presser. He probably talked for 25 minutes or whatever. And there was no discussion about, like, it's just so remarkable to see and watch and hear, and none of it is dysfunctional anymore.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
Maybe because I, like, lived it closer than most, it remains that remarkable. But we talked about it at the, you know, we should shout out the event the other night. Friday night feels like it was a month ago, but 106.7 The Fan live in Leesburg at the Tally Ho Theater was a lot of fun.
It was.
Really good crowd.
A lot of people out there.
How late did you go there?
After you did your Irish goodbye.
I said goodbye.
Yeah, but you did be a little quicker than normally. You said, and I can see you creeping around, and then you creep out.
B, I felt awful.
You looked it, too.
I powered through, and
but I wasn't there much longer after you.
In my mind that night, I thought I was going to be home by 9:30. When we came back out at 9:30, I was like, oh, my God. I just felt sick. I thought it was a very cool night, cool event. Did you enjoy that, Denton?
You were
holding it down.
It was a great time. It was great to see everybody out there, too. I thought it went really well.
For sure.
And it's a lot easier when you're talking about a good football team.
Dude, totally. You know what I mean? And it's just so different. And I think I think if everybody could just chill with the name stuff, we'll all be better off. You know, like there's no other – I don't – like who's a good team – not even a good team with angst like the Bills and the Ravens, right? Like those are 2 really good teams, really good franchises that don't know if they're ever going to get past the Chiefs. They got their issues. Mm-hmm. But like the Bucks keep losing OCs. But – at some point, maybe Baker should get some credit, but I don't know. Maybe it's all these other guys. Mm-hmm. Houston needs a new OC. They got a young quarterback. They play some good defense. The Rams, what do they got to figure out? Stafford's dragging them along, right? Stafford's like, I want back. He just wants cash. He's not actually retiring. But, like, all these other franchises that are pretty good. Seattle, Matt Parris in the building. What up, dude? Seattle, like, all these teams that have to figure all this stuff out, right? They're just talking about football all the time. And I don't know if it's Washington is that unique that, like, because of the political discourse in our city and kind of what drives the city is this, like, internal polarization of everything where everything is a debatable topic and a talking point surrounded by a communications team. Like, that's what our city is based upon, right? And maybe we just can't operate like normal football fans, but let's get there. Because the dude that caused so much of the divisiveness and the problems and the toxicity, he's in London. Like, and apparently he's real pissed off. So let's just act like the rest of these people. The Bears stink. And I don't think it's really going to go well with Ben Johnson. They just hired Eric Bieniemy to be the running backs coach. But you know what people in Chicago are talking about? The football team. Yeah. Nobody's and this is a different situation because of the name. I understand all of it. But, like, we are so close to just being a football team focused on football.
I think we're closer than people think where we go.
Doesn't that sound great?
I think we're already on the other side of the garbage. You know? We are past that already.
We are, but you can still smell it. Yeah, we've passed the garbage, but we're still on the street. We need to turn the corner.
You know what?
And we know Dan picked the name. If you want to cling to that,
let's go back to it. Windshield, not rearview mirror.
True.
See how small that rearview mirror is, but that windshield.
It's big.
Look at the possibilities. Forget about what's behind you, bro.
Nick Ackridge is a dude that covers the Commanders for. I guess I gotta stop saying skin so much, but if I'm gonna practice what I preach, I probably won't though. Let's be real. Ackridge covers the Commanders for Pro Football Focus in some capacity, right? I saw this tweet. He's like, man, as someone who was born in 94, the previous name means ineptitude and failure. I've seen twice as many playoff wins under the Commanders. It's kind of an interesting perspective because for me, being born in 81, I don't agree with that. But if you're young, the Redskins sucked. If you're 25... They were terrible your whole life. So maybe you don't care about the name. You know what I mean? That's how old are you?
I was 95. The little difference for me is that we were psychos in the house, so we had like NFL Network on all the time. So I was a historian. Like, I knew who Brian was when I was like 9, 10 years old, which most kids did not, because I'm just constantly watching America's Game and seeing all these highlights. So it's a little different, but I understand where he's coming from. If you were not a psycho and were not locked into America's Game whenever it was on and all the history that was surrounding that franchise, you probably don't care about the Redskins that much.
Totally. Here's what I do care about. Gerald McCoy played defensive line for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a long time and was very, very good at it. Gerald McCoy is going to join us next live here, Radio Row, in New Orleans. That's right. The big game has arrived, and fans are fired up to see who will be hoisting the trophy here in New Orleans. You can get in on all that action at the ESPN Bet Sports Book. There is so much to look at with this Super Bowl. What if you like? I know a lot of people are really high on Dallas Goedert's passing yards. They think he could be a huge part of the Eagles' attack. Obviously, a Saquon anytime TD is going to be juicy. What about Kelsey in this thing? What about who's the rookie wide receiver they got out of Texas? The speedster. I'd be interested in that dude. Maybe getting Worthy. Loose once. Yeah, Worthy. There are just so many different angles. I love, shout out to Landfill, this is his bet, but the Patrick Mahomes rushing over, I absolutely love in this game. Whatever it is you're looking for, if you're looking just at over-unders, totals, all the props, all the spreads, whatever it is you're looking for, ESPN Bet Sportsbook has got you covered. Plus, ESPN Bet's big game giveaway promo is offering a chance at $1 million in prizes. 25 winners will walk away with $10,000 in cash, and 7,500 winners will get $100 in bonus bets. There's no deposit or bet required. Download the app and opt in today. Play in Maryland or Virginia. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Live, New Orleans, Louisiana, Radio Row. And in just moments,
There you go.
Denton.
Right in front of you.
In just moments, here we go. Gerald McCoy is going to join the program. Very excited to have Gerald sit down with us. How are you, man? Thanks for making some time.
I'm incredible. Let me get this sound right. Which one is my sound?
Help him out, Denton. He wants his sound right.
Which one is my sound? Yeah, yeah.
Is that better?
If you get it long enough, you can do it yourself.
Yeah,
huh?
yeah. We good. Yeah.
Six-time Pro Bowler Gerald McCoy sitting down with us. What's it like for you working the scene of Radio Row?
I've done it a few times.
Sure.
I did it as a player early on in my career, but doing it now as a media member is a little different. I'm on the other side now, and I understand the world, and I have a little more lenience for the interviews now because I am on the other side.
I mean, that's the same.
I'm a little more willing now because I understand the necessity of it.
Yeah. I left the game 20-plus years ago.
Yeah.
I've been doing it, and as you go, okay, then.
Yeah,
that's why
they
were harassing me a little bit back in the
day.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, you got that. You got a deadline. You
got
to figure something out. Yeah,
for sure, yeah.
Work hand in hand.
Well, you spent the bulk of your career in Tampa, right?
Sir.
And do you consider the Bucs your team now? Like, how does that work?
No, not now. The Bucs have always been my team. I grew up a Bucs fan. I wore number 99 in Little League because of Warren Sapp.
Oh, wow.
I remember sneaking out of church, going to the pastor's office to watch the Super Bowl in 2002. I've been a Bucs guy. You know, I just was blessed enough to get drafted by him. So
that's really cool, a lot
of people think, like, I'm loyal to the Bucs because I played there so long and they drafted me. There's so many people who play for teams and then play for them for a while and afterwards they just like, that's just who I played for.
Uh-huh.
My loyalty to the Bucs is for multiple reasons, but it started as a kid.
That's so cool. I did not know that. And Sapp back then was just such a monster.
Yeah, he was.
As a player and like the character. I remember him doing the Beyonce booty shake after the
touchdown. Those
are Floridians,
man. If you think about all the Floridians, him, A.B., Ocho Cinco, guys like that, just those guys at Ray Lewis, those Florida guys, they just are full of personality.
For sure. Yeah. For
totally,
sure.
Totally.
Michael Irvin.
A lot of personality.
Yeah.
So we're in Washington, right?
Okay.
And they played Tampa twice this year.
Yeah.
And the Bucs are your team.
Yeah.
What kind of growth did you see in
Jaden? Yeah, I got away with one, but all right, keep going.
What kind of growth did you see in Jaden Daniels from week one to the wild card win?
You know, when I watched him in week one, I said, this kid, I said before in preseason, he throws one of the best footballs I've seen in a long time.
Uh-huh.
One of the best I've seen, period. He just throws a very catchable, pretty football. And that doesn't always correlate. That's just talent. That doesn't make you a great quarterback. But it doesn't always correlate to being a great quarterback. But seeing how he threw the ball with such ease, I said, you know what? This kid got something to him. And then we played him in week one, and I said, you know what? He didn't turn the ball over. He ran the ball well. He didn't look rattled. He played through the game. And then you watch him play, and you see what he's doing in the clutch.
Sure.
You see what he's doing when it's crunch time. And Kurt Warner, my colleague on NFL Network, said, when you're watching these people, what you're watching them do is something that they've been doing.
Yeah.
You don't get in crunch time and you change. You don't get in crunch time and you all of a sudden, whew, I know how to take a deep breath and center in. That's how you are at all times.
Yeah.
That's why it looks like he's like that in the clutch, but he's like that at all times.
Yeah.
And you've seen him get more and more comfortable to where, hey, this is just football to me.
Like a guy like Jaden, so
people
like to automatically say, oh, running quarterback, no. He's a passer can run.
Exactly.
How does that affect your game, your pass rush, when you're on the field? If you had a guy that you know can throw it, but he can run, did you change up anything?
Yeah, I had the supersized version of him in Cam Newton. So, and Cam Newton was one of those innovators. You had your Mike Vicks and guys who could do it. But then Cam came in doing it at the size he was doing it. He was electrifying. There's exciting. There's explosive, and then there's electrifying. Cam was electrifying, and that's what Jaden Daniels has, man. And you have to be very aware of what you do. You have to rush smart, but you can't rush scared. Max Crosby said when they're rushing Patrick Mahomes, you have to rush smart, but you can't rush scared. And I knew about that playing against Cam Newton. We did a thing. Joe Cullen, who's a defensive line coach, which is crazy that they're about to play Jalen Hurts, because Joe Cullen, who was my defensive line coach, is a D-line coach in Kansas City.
Oh, wow.
He taught us about building a well. This came from Rob Marinelli. And when you build a well, you want to keep guys like that in the pocket. And there's a way to do it when you're rushing up front. But you have to be very aware with how you're rushing. You can't just rush free. Like, if I'm rushing, let's say, Kurt Warner, I'm all right. I'm good.
You can't
do that with Jaden Daniels. Yeah. You know, so that's the difference. And, man, he's a threat at all times. All points of the game, every down. Some quarterbacks, you're like, oh, he's not a threat at this point. But he's a threat at all times, because first down might be a direct run for him.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
So you got to have eyes on him at all times.
Does Pat kind of fit that? Because Pat, you don't look at him and say, oh, this dude, he can break it out. But he has a run in every game.
Yeah, well, the reason he fits that is because of his coach.
Mm-hmm.
Pat has all the ability. So when you talk about talent, when you talk about guys with talent, Pat is overly talented. Which tool he pulls out that bag depends on the game and the moment. That's what's making Pat so great. When we watch Tom over time get better, what it was is Tom knew when to do what. He's very methodical. He knew how to win games. It wasn't all overly explosive. It was, I know how to win when it's necessary. We seen Pat score a touchdown in the AFC Championship on his own read.
Mm-hmm.
Pat kept the ball.
Right.
That's not something we've seen him do.
Right.
But Andy Reid can draw it up.
Yeah.
And when you have all these weapons at your disposal and a quarterback that can do anything, you want to pass. But if we need him to run, he can.
Yeah.
That's what makes Pat. You know, his mind, along with all his tools, is what makes him so great.
Joining us now is former NFL All-Pro defensive tackle Gerald McCoy. Gerald is the co-host of McCoy and Van Noy on Yahoo Sports, recording from the Toyota Land Cruiser set on Radio Row this week. Check out McCoy and Van Noy with Gerald McCoy and Kyle Van Noy on Yahoo Sports, YouTube, all your major podcast platforms. Specifically with Washington,
yeah,
I think to go down in Tampa in the wild card game.
Incredible.
Were you surprised by the team that showed up?
Very. They asked us a question on NFL Network, and they said, how far can Jaden Daniels take the Washington Commanders? And my answer was, he can take them from Tampa International to Raymond James Stadium, and it stops there. That's not what he did. He took him and he kept going. But, I mean, when the playoffs started, okay, when you get into November, December – you start to see who's who. If you want to win December, January, you got to be able to stop the run and run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to win in the playoffs on the road, you got to pack a defense. And that's what has went under the radar with the Commanders, was the defense and how well they were playing. They got a timely takeaway at the end of the game versus Tampa. They had five in Detroit. What happened in the NFC Championship? They turned the ball over.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying, man? You got to pack a defense to win on the road. We knew what Jaden Daniels was. We knew the weapons he had at his disposal with Zach Ertz and Scary Terry. We knew what they could do. We didn't know what the defense was going to do.
Sure.
The defense showed up, and they showed out, man. And this thing can keep growing. I don't know how many picks they got or whatever, but there's a guy in Cleveland who just said, hey, I'm available. I'm available.
I wanted to ask you that.
I'm down here.
Do you
come get me.
How much of this is he's going into the first year of his contract with no guaranteed money on it?
Yeah.
And I imagine there's some contractual concerns for a player of his caliber. How much of this is contract-driven versus he actually wants out of Cleveland?
I think he actually does want out of Cleveland. I think he's a very – here's what I don't want to get misconstrued about him. I remember when I was a free agent after I had left Tampa, and mine, which I understand, me and Tampa parted ways mutually because I was going into my first year without guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
When I was going up to Cleveland, they had D tackles there. And I think Larry Ogunjobi was there at the time. And they were bringing me in. And they asked Myles Garrett, hey, how would you love to have Gerald McCoy come in? He said, we good with what we got. He's loyal to whoever he's with.
Mm.
And he's been loyal to that team and that franchise regardless of what. You haven't seen him waver. So if he asks out with what he's done, one defensive player of the year, he's a finalist again, fastest to this, done all this, and he's been loyal in the media and on the field.
Yeah.
If he asks out, you kind of just got to respect his wishes.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, oh, I want more money. And because if he wanted, he's Myles Garrett. If I want more money, I just go upstairs. Hey, say, I need some more guarantee.
Right. Uh-huh.
And they'll do it.
Right.
I think it's more, I did what I could here. I want to go
legacy.
Give myself opportunity to win.
He's a legacy-type player. He's a Hall of Fame-type player. Eventually, he wants some playoff wins. I get it.
Yeah.
Gerald, this would be great, man. Thank you for making time for us, dude.
I appreciate y'all, man.
Do you know Tress Way, a fellow Sooner?
Tress is like my little brother, man. And every time Tress has a – every time I see him, he yells at me, the big man is killing us. And the reason he said that is when we were in FCA, we were doing a game where we had to I think we had to shoot something in a basket or something. And we had a guy on our team who kept missing. He was missing over and over. I was making mine. But the guy was trying to, like, push blame off on me. And he tapped Tress and was like, man, the big guy's killing us. So every time – and Tress is looking at him, and he comes to me. He's like, you'd never believe what he said. So every time I see Tress, he yells, hey, the big guy's killing us. So, yeah, Tress is like my little brother, man.
I'm going to text him that right now.
Text him and Gerald says the big guy's killing us.
I call him the most sane punter I ever met in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Most punters are weird.
Yeah. Nah.
Tress is a straight-up dude,
yeah,
man.
Tress is a great guy, man.
Thank you, man. This has been awesome, brother. Everybody check out McCoy and Van Noy, Yahoo Sports, YouTube, all the
right now, at the beginning of the week, without doing research and watching film, is the Chiefs. I just got to go with experience.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean,
it's kind of hard to go against.
There's no coaching for speed, though.
Yeah.
And Philly has it at every level. So.
Absolutely. Jeff, I like what you're doing here. We can just go all New Orleans beats all week, baby.
All week.
Maybe a little Louis Armstrong while you're
at it.
I'm
with it.
Yo, we haven't said hi to him all day. White Brian, how you doing, bud? You all right?
Yep. I got a new mic in studio.
You got a new mic in studio. Congratulations.
Yep. Don't know who replaced it, but
honestly, it's really on the come up. We got banners. We got new mics.
Wait, you got a new mic? Is mine still falling off the little thing?
Remember that joint just fell?
Just fell.
If you missed any of the interview with Gerald McCoy, I thought he was fantastic. I recommend getting on the Odyssey app or
When you see the big guys come up, you expect them to be but he was very smooth, soft spoken, slow. I was totally opposite of what I expected.
And funny, dude.
Yeah.
I texted the quote to Tress that he said, and he just replied, legendary. I can't read the other parts of what he said, but those two are friends. I'll let you read that part, but don't say it out loud. I think that's the story they're talking about. that made me laugh, dude.
Boy. Can't read that.
Day one about in the books. Grant's here somewhere. I think Grant's getting ready to rock. Darius is there.
Well, they've been here since 6:30 this morning.
Darius, what do y'all have today? You want me to promo something?
They've been here since 6:30.
It is.
You could have did our show for us.
Yo, I don't know if the Cluster Buster will sign off on this, but Darius, if you and Grant get here tomorrow at 8 a.m. again, do you want to just do our show and be and I'll chill and go play golf?
Go chill.
I don't know. I think Grant would. I don't know that Darius is committing.
Because I could damn sure go play golf.
Yeah.
There's a tee time tomorrow at 10:30 at the TPC Louisiana.
That's where we played when I was here.
I could go.
Yo,
I'll take it.
Bring your earplugs.
Why?
Dog, it was unbelievable. Did I not tell you about this? Dude, they got a go-kart track next to the golf course.
Oh, I don't care about that. I block stuff out, Jay. You get irritated by everything.
Ask Chick, Mitch, like we all played. It was unbelievable.
Chick is probably worse than you when it comes to getting irritated by something.
Chick needs his golf to be in a perfect setting. I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, it's loud as hell. And, well, I think, barring the Cluster Buster, just letting Grant do eight straight hours, which honestly I think Grant would love, I don't think we get to go play anyway.
You can have it.
All right, new rule. If Grant's sitting at this chair when we come on first at 9 a.m.,
I'm put the headset on him.
It's Grant.
I'm put the headset on him.
Jeff,
moving.
Does that work with you?
Fine.
I really enjoyed talking to McCoy.
That was cool.
Tomorrow we got
another
packed day.
The first day was cool, though. This is the first time it had this many people on a Monday.
Mondays are usually dead.
Of all the Super Bowls I've ever been to, this is the first time I've seen this many people at Radio Row. Because Radio Row normally don't get big until Wednesday.
Yeah, man. Monday is usually dead. This room is also massive.
And it's still, you see, it's filling up.
Little show announcement for tomorrow.
Go ahead.
A fellow by the name of Joe Jackson Gibbs is going to join the program at noon tomorrow. Is he here or is he joining us on the phone?
I don't know that.
Okay. We're going to find out.
Well, might be on the phone.
Maybe he's here. You know what a fellow by the name of Joe Jackson Gibbs has?
He can decide what he wants.
Small planes. Yeah, he can get where he wants to when he wants to.
Yeah, he got some small
When you got small planes, that's a different world.
His plane is big in that arena.
He probably has big, small planes, small planes. He's got it all. We have a packed show all week. I'm excited. Ricky Williams, Sticky Icky Ricky, joining us on Friday, man. Rod Woodson joining us on Thursday. Sean Alexander once won me a fantasy title. Shout out to Sean Alexander. Your teammate's got the same ring you got. Brad Edwards joining us on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. I got to go do something for Brad then one day.
Yo, hold on. CK's here. Give him your headset real quick, then. CK is the cluster buster. He is seriously busting
clusters.
We have
a serious question.
This week. Yo, because he is busting all these clusters. How many clusters you got here?
Six.
Wow.
Six clusters.
All right. We're trying to simplify
things
for you.
He's going to have a gigification like we normally do after we leave.
Oh, it's coming.
You know that B-Mitch and I are always out to simplify things for the station.
Yeah.
All right. So when we got here this morning, Grant was already here, and he was sitting here. And so our thought is if we get here tomorrow and Grant's here and he's sitting here, he can just go eight straight hours.
Yeah. Nope.
I mean, he's already here, so he can just do it. And then I can go play golf at TPC.
No.
I can, too. All right. I just.
We need you in this spot, guys.
We just thought we were helping.
No. You guys are the stars. You got to do this.
I mean, he was already working. Go with it, dog.
Why was he here so early?
I don't know.
We
wasn't that every day.
Why he is when he's at home. Why is he here so early in New Orleans is the question.
I don't know, man.
I don't know, man.
I saw him sitting here. Then I saw Darius walk. I'm like, what the hell? You got Darius here, too?
We got Joe Gibbs tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
In person?
We don't know.
We don't know.
It's kind of exciting that way.
What time?
Noon.
I love that.
High noon in the District of Columbia.
I love that. I'll be here.
Yeah, man. Today was awesome. Do you agree? You've done these a lot of times, various places. This feels like the most juice for a Monday Radio Row in my experience.
I have to say I was shocked.
Yeah.
Because you know, it was just a couple years ago that Radio Row was pretty much dead.
Dude.
And now this is not necessarily Radio Row anymore. It's Media Row, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we live in a world where, you know, there's radio stations, there's podcasts, there's, you know, all sorts of multiple platforms.
Well, and every audio platform is now a video platform.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, there's no audio only anymore.
Yep.
And so I think Radio Row, honestly, has done a good job of kind of evolving.
And this damn
that.
Building is big.
It's
I was walking
huge.
For a long time trying to get
I
it.
Heard you guys talking about that earlier, and I did the same thing yesterday, and I'm sorry I should have told you to come to the correct hall.
Well, I very rarely give myself leeway with time.
I know, JP.
And I actually did today.
Never, actually.
Very, very rare. I did today.
Yes.
Now, granted, I walked in at 8:50 or whatever, but I was okay.
That was earlier than you normally do.
It was day one. Tomorrow, I'll see you at 8:58, buddy. especially now we know where we're going, got credentials, we're in business. But, dude,
8:59.
What's interesting is I remember it was Tischler and I, when we first started taking the podcast on the road to Radio Row, we were like the first ones to do that. Mm-hmm. And now I almost wonder if there's more podcasts than there are radio stations.
I would bet anything.
Yeah.
There have to be. I would guess there's only about maybe 20 radio stations, and the rest are something else.
That's crazy.
20 radio stations, we got six of them.
Yeah.
Dude, I said this earlier, and I don't know. I think this is accurate. Odyssey's got to be the foremost sports radio.
Right there.
Yeah. It's literally on that sign right there.
Well, I don't have a sign, dude. I'm over here with the 2.5x10 banner.
I'm reading the same sign you're reading.
Well, read it for the people.
We've got
read it.
We've got 28 stations, but my favorites are right here, these two. Right? So. We got 28, though.
Is Rooster coming?
No, absolutely not.
If he was, he'll get here Friday.
I want to be clear. Chris, if you're listening, I believe your show is not on the air yet. I will pay your bus fare to New Orleans. I will pay it overnight, like ASAP.
I'll chip in.
All right.
I'll chip in.
Let's get Rooster on a bus to New Orleans. Thank you, CK. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Today was a lot of fun. A lot more
fun. It was.
More than I expected, honestly. Monday's usually pretty slow, and this was dope. Thank you to Gerald McCoy for joining us. Thank you to Ryan Leaf for joining us. Thank you to our guy Chris Miles for calling in. Thank you to Denton Day sitting in with us throughout the day. CK there at the end. Fun day, man. Day one in the books. Day two, we're back tomorrow. Joe Gibbs, noon tomorrow. Grant and Danny coming your way next. Grant is here. Darius is here. Going to be a fun one, man. Super Bowl week, Radio Row. You made it this far. Denton knows you a beer.